Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Started 2 hours ago. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. What's up, junkies? Astros open up a three-game series against Sacramento. Big, big week, obviously, final week of the regular season. We'll be scoreboard watching things, which you should know. Pretty soon after you start about these other games, because Tigers Guardians start at 5:40, Blue Jays Red Sox start at 6:07. You start at 9. Like, those games all could be finals, and like, I'm not even worried about the Mariners. Like, they won the division. Go ahead and hang the banner on them. We had a texter asking about Pena status. I have not. The lineup won't be out for another hour at least. I haven't seen anything else regarding his status. Of course, missed Sunday's game with a little strain in his side. Have you seen anything on Pena?
I have not. I do have some unfortunate news for you.
Oh.
It is official. Your favorite pitcher on the Houston Astros, Brandon Walter, has had Tommy John surgery.
Well, they say he was having surgery.
Yeah, but it's done yesterday. It was done
yesterday. So he's probably out for the year.
Yeah, he's not pitching next year.
I mean, some guys get back in 12 months.
Not on the Astros.
No, we're looking at 18 months.
They say minimum. 12 months.
He'll be back pitchers and catchers 2027.
Or 8 after the lockout. I know. Yeah, I know you hate what I say, but
I don't want to. I don't want to lock out in baseball. Is that bad? Of me?
I don't either. It's so bad because it's hot right now. Baseball is on the the ratings are way up.
It's hot.
It's hotter than it's been in a long time.
Baseball so hot right now.
I'll give you hotter than it's been in a while.
It's a low bar, but it's hotter than it's been in a while.
It's hot. But anyways, there's this take out there that I don't want to watch the Astros in the playoffs. They don't deserve it. They're going to break our hearts. They're not going to make it. They're not going to go very far. Where do you stand on that take?
I think it's stupid. Because as bad as things have been this year, I get it. Think back to 2020. They didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs. They were only in the playoffs because they were extra expansion. And they got to game 7 of the ALCS. We see crazy things happen all the time. And while Fromber's been bad, he's 1-9 his last start, 1-9 his last 10 starts with the Astros. You're still going to roll out Hunter Brown and Fromber Valdez in a 3-game series. You still have Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, hopefully Jeremy Pena. Maybe Yordan Alvarez is going to be back. Isak Paredes is back. Like, anything can happen in the playoffs. And besides the Mariners, I don't think there's that scary of teams in the American League right now, frankly. You can sell me on a very glass half full still Astros make a run. So I still want to see them.
No, I think it's foolish too. Like, why wouldn't you want your team to play in the postseason? Like, come on. Like, it's entertaining. Your team's there. You have hope. Chip in a chair. Like, do I think they can make a run and win it all? Probably not. But I'm with you on there's no one in the AL that's like overwhelmingly better than anybody else. Sans Seattle. Seattle looked great. But maybe that's because you were really bad. I don't know. No, I don't like that logic at all. Like, playoff baseball's fun, man. Like, it's fun. I think it's stupid logic as well. I think it's really weird.
And if you're worried that making the playoffs is going to change anything for what may happen in terms of people getting fired or keeping their jobs, the Astros have already proven that doesn't matter. Or James Click would still be the general manager of this baseball team. It doesn't. If you think Joe Espada should be fired, making the playoffs doesn't necessarily change whether or not that happens. Jim Crane's already proven that. So I don't think there's an ultimate fallout. It doesn't change your plans with Fromber. It doesn't change your plans probably this offseason. If you're going to unload guys and do a soft rebuild like the Tampa Bay Rays would, I don't think making the playoffs changes anything to that. So I'd rather have a shot at the dance just to see what can happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Just get there and see if you can make a magical run. That beats the alternative of not being there at all. And I'm with you too. If your mindset, this needs to happen, this guy needs to get fired, this guy needs to let go, they need to do this with the roster, that stuff should happen regardless. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be, they didn't make the playoffs, so now I'm going to do it. Stuff should happen regardless, and I think it's a loser's mentality to oh no, we made the playoffs, status quo, we're going to, bring everybody back. The mindset should be the same, whether you make the playoffs or you don't.
And it's the same conversation we'd be having with the Texans. If the Texans were 3-0, I think we're sitting here talking about how great of a job Nick Caley's doing. if they would have held on to the – if Dara would have held on to the ball or Nico would have held on to the ball or they stopped Tampa Bay and they're 3-0. No, we're having the same conversations about Nick Caley. Now, the Texans' offense is the worst in the NFL. It doesn't change what's happening with Christian Walker at first base. If Isak Paredes can play first base next year and you can dump out a Christian Walker, do it. So it's – and like a reset for what? For Hunter Brown, that's not going to be on this team for more than like two more years or whatever it is. He doesn't need an arm reset. He'll be fine.
They've already broken our hearts, losing a three-game series in the playoffs. He's not going to change anything. So I guess that's the take four. The other texter, the other junkie on the text line, that Astros take just made the list, agreed. Crawdaddy, our favorite Crawdaddy junkie, not wanting to see the Astros play in October is flat out dumb. If we've learned anything from the 19 Nationals or the 23 Rangers, anything can happen if you get hot at the right time. I do think they have pieces that could get hot. Like you mentioned, like Jordan back, you know, Isak looked okay at the plate, looked pretty good at the plate. Pena needs to be healthy. Like, you have the pieces of getting hot. Like, you really do.
Like, maybe I'm not on the
mound.
On it.
Maybe not on the mound. But your offense could get hot and carry you through maybe a series or two.
Yeah.
I just want the Astros and the Yankees home again. That would be sweet. It's always sweet. Especially if you do it in the Bronx. Like, you beat them in a wild card series in the Bronx.
That is the... Instead of, I don't want the Astros to make the playoffs because they won't change anything if they make the playoffs, I don't want the Astros to play the Yankees because if they beat them, they won't do anything. That might be what you're actually getting on of like, yeah, just beating them in the wild card, beating the Yankees in the wild card round, the morale of the fan base would just skyrocket so much.
Altuve hits a go-ahead home run.
And people would be like, you know what, this year was pretty good, even though they lost in four in the ALDS.
Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Eddie, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Honestly, I think what I have to say is a little redundant after everything you guys just said on the Astros. I was just curious as to what it would take for us to make a decent run. And obviously, I do want to see them in the playoffs, whoever, but they don't. Doesn't make any sense, like y'all said, but you know, I think the playoffs in the MLB have gotten a little bit more random than other sports. You know, when the Diamondbacks made the World Series, and you know, it'd be nice to see the Astros. I'm just curious what it would really take for us to make a decent run.
I think it starts with Fromber. Like, you have to, you know, with what we saw with Jason Alexander's last start, like, is it a little Cinderella story? Is coming to an end there potentially? Like, you need Fromber to be Fromber, be good Fromber again. If you're going to make a run, I think it really starts there. And obviously, the bats are very important. I do think if they're going to make a run, it might be best to start in New York, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the booing that Altuve and Correa and these guys respond to so much
kind of,
like,
wakes them up.
Yeah. Like, okay, like, get past the Red Sox, go to New York for three game series, win that thing. Like, that's where I could really see a run get going.
No, I'm with you with the whole Fromber thing. Like, he doesn't have to be like ace Fromber. Like, he just has to get you through six innings and be in the game, you know? Like, and Hunter Brown's going to have to be really good. Your bullpen's going to have to be good. But I think this offense has the pieces to carry you for the most part. Now, they haven't always shown that. Certainly didn't show that in the Seattle series. But they have some guys. Do you put any validity on these Christian Walker splits, by the way? Have you seen his home road numbers?
No.
At the dike, Christian Walker has a 622 OPS.
Okay.
Away from the dike, he has a 753 OPS.
Huh.
Like, legitimately okay. Like, that's 753 OPS. That's an OPS plus of, what, 116? He's 81 OPS plus at home. Like, it's night and day.
I mean, was it 2 years ago now when we were having to talk about the backdrop?
That was 2023.
2023?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is an argument like that maybe it's not the most hitter-friendly park for everybody because we've seen the Astros have their struggles at Daikin Park. So
I think it grades out neutral, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty – like, they're not like Rocky splits, right, that are so extreme. Those are pretty balanced for the most part. I think you could really see it go either way. I guess I don't see it that way when he's out there. You throw him a high fastball, he's going to chase after it. And that's all he's going to get in the playoffs. He's not going to hit anything. If he's out there at first base for you, he's going to be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I don't really buy much too much into
it. It's just kind of odd that it's that egregious. I think it's probably correlates with, like, when he got hot. Like, he probably had that hot stretch whenever you were playing mostly at, on the road. So, like, it spiked his numbers during that hot stretch
because
they were on the road.
When they had a West Coast trip against a bunch of NL West teams. Yeah, it was when they played L.A. and Arizona. And it felt like he was playing in NL West stadiums, and he felt more comfortable, and he started to hit better. So, I think it is that the streakiness of his season has just correlated to where they played a lot.
It just matched up when they were on the road. And maybe there is something to him on the West Coast. Like, I could buy that. Was in Arizona forever, hitting those ballparks forever. But I don't put a whole lot of credibility in that. I mean, they are what they are. The numbers are what they are.
But they're not that great.
753 is far better than what he's doing.
That's true.
Yes, but if his combined OPS was just 753, just evenly throughout the year. I don't know if it would be like Christian Walker. What a signing.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't. But yeah. we'd obviously be more tolerable.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had Jose Abreu comparisons.
He's about to go off in Sacramento. He's going to go off in Sacramento and Anaheim on the West Coast. He's going to carry the Astros to the playoffs.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he can carry the Astros in a minor league ballpark.
He's going to carry them to Anaheim's not a minor league ballpark.
No,
Joe.
But the first three games are going to be. Like, nothing, honestly, nothing that happens over the next 3 days with the offense is going to make me feel any better about what happened in Seattle because it's a fake ballpark.
Yeah, but they absolutely have to win.
No, they absolutely have to win. But I'm not going to come on the show and be like, oh, the offense is back.
I live in Fort Worth, and the Rangers fans up here want them to let the Guardians sweep them in their final series so the Astros don't make the playoffs. Weird logic, wanting your team to lose. I actually understand
it. I respect that.
Like, if you're not, you're like tanking so your rival doesn't make it. It actually makes some sense. I guess we're rooting for the Tigers because they have a game up on the Guards. Scooble pitches tonight. Like, it would be more beneficial if the team with the lesser record loses.
Yes.
So the Tigers winning is the what we're pulling for. And then obviously you're pulling for the Blue Jays to beat the Red Sox.
But and then which one of these teams plays the Red Sox next? Is it the Guardians?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay.
The Guardians finish with the Rangers and they want to lose all the games to them.
That's where I kind of think you're rooting for the Guardians and then
how could you root for the team that has the lesser record?
Because because the Tigers, the way they're playing, if the Tigers lose five of their next six games because their season's over, it's in, like, you're going to make the playoffs.
If you win.
Well, I think they're going to win.
What do you think the Astros do this week? Six games.
4-2.
That's kind of what I think. When Mapes and I were doing the show, I said 3-3, 4-2.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying for the Mariners-Rangers series combined records, for like 3-3 is like just good enough, and 4-2 would be amazing. And then once you actually got 3-3, and I think part of it's the way you got 3-3 against the Mariners and Rangers, you're like,
Yeah. Plus the Guardians hot. Like, I didn't qualify the Guardians getting hot like they did. Like, they were nowhere on the radar.
Yeah.
Whatever we were said. Station. Yeah.
Will the Guardians go 6-0?
I know.
That makes it a lot worse.
I'm pulling for the Tigers tonight. Because if the Tigers win and you win, you're back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for the Tigers tonight.
I think it's just the better odds are is that the Tigers continue to collapse, where if the Tigers get hot.
Why? How's that better odds? Just because you're playing the momentum?
Yeah, just the momentum. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they've lost 1, 2, 3, 6 straight games.
And the Guards have been unbelievably hot.
Yeah, and they've lost they've won one game in their last three series, and it was against the Marlins.
You just need a sweep either way. Right.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't matter. Sweep and you're fine.
Sweep, that's cute. Astros sweeping a
series. No. I mean, you need a Detroit or Cleveland sweep.
I meant Detroit.
Either direction. Either direction a sweep would be
the no-brainers. Go Blue Jays. No-brainer. They play the Red Sox. Three-game series starting tonight.
That would be
go Blue benefit, Jays. You want the Blue Jays to sweep the Red Sox for sure. Tigers, Guardians, you can kind of make the case either way.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, though. Like, whoever wins game one, you pull for them the next two.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you on that. All right, 713-780-3776. Did you watch the C.J. Stroud all 22? Of course I did. Film don't lie. What stood out on film? What stood out on the all 22? Because you all want to know. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race? Maybe your sports teams are causing you stress. Maybe it's the job, the hustle and bustle of the job. Maybe that's causing you the stress. Do you want to alleviate that stress? Of course you do. So get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston and do that. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. AstroResort.com right now. Open green spaces, beautiful wildlife, majestic mature trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas, too. The two creeks right up on their property, the catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kids. You're going to love your time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're also going to love how much time it takes you to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It takes 90 minutes from downtown Houston. You're there in an hour and a half. What other weekend getaways, what other PTO getaways during the week are you getting there in 90 minutes? You're wasting most of your time off traveling, whether it's hauling, loading up the car and hauling your family across the state or multi-states, whether it's going to the airport and wasting your time, TSA and delays. No, get in the car, hike up 90 minutes, and you're there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And once you're there, hike their 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking, play some pickleball, hang out by the pool with a drink. They have glamping. They have cabins. They have the treehouse. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And right now through October, you can save 20% off your stay. And they're always looking to take care of their visitors too. Like Saturday, for instance. Look at all the stuff they have coming up this Saturday. They got a kids craft, which is great for the family. They got activities for the kiddos. They got bingo. Bingo's fun. They also got a little live music featuring Kenny Cooper. Fajitas and Ritas contest. Yummy. And then college football at Swampers, too, if you're looking to crave that college football appetite. So book that stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Save 20% off through October at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. You're a junkie. 713-782-3776. Mapes hanging out with B4B Mac today. He'll be back tomorrow. Brian will. Film Don't Lie. All 22. You watch all 22? Of course I do. I got into a fight with Sarge today about Kalen Bullock being a soft football player. He said that he shouldn't waste energy trying hard, basically. No, smart to waste energy in a play that's already over, although Kalen Bullock could have put himself in a better position to make a play.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. I mean, you're a safety. You need to be involved in pretty much every play.
Yeah, what people can't see the play, but it's the play that Tootin ran in for the touchdown. It's like first and goal from the one. They gave it to Tootin. Tootin takes the handoff at the five, and Bullock's like right in front of him on the other side of the line, 2-3 yards deep into the end zone, and like doesn't move to put himself in a position to make the tackle. I thought it was another example of Kalen Bullock being a little soft, not liking contact. Remember the Emeka Egbuka touchdown where the Charlie Heck didn't get called for the trip? Do you know who he kind of like just shepherded into the end zone? Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
Bullock doesn't like contact, man. I'm just what I've seen. Film Don't Lie. Doesn't like contact. I did like what I saw from CJ Stroud in this game, Joe. Like, is it a finished product? Obviously not. Is the total body of work great? No. Is the production fantastic? Of course not. But I do think that he's taking a step in the right direction, shockingly enough. He's not drifting as much, which I think is like something he's actually working on. You can actually see him step up into the pocket and escape through some of the holes that open up, which I like that a little bit better. The quick reads and the quick passing game were much better. Like, that's what I thought. When C.J. Stroud was at his best rookie year, I think that's where he was his best. Sit him in the gun, okay, let him look at all his routes, open up, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 picking defenses apart, anticipation throws. There was more of that. I'd still like to see even more of that. I thought he could have very easily had way more sacks than he did. I thought he actually got rid of the ball or escaped some sacks, could have had way more. On a night where the offensive line was abysmal, was really, really bad, I thought he helped the Texans avoid sacks, which I haven't been able to say all season long, previous two games prior to this one. Still think he's a little gun-shy, like not trusting either the route concepts. Like they said on the broadcast, too, that the Archuleta was like, there's a lot of tight windows there, and he's a little gun-shy making the throws. I can see that a bit. I would like him, hey, if we're gonna be 0-3 and have the worst offense in the NFL, just let it fly. Just let it fly.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where I guess that goes back to Nick Cayley a little bit and the wide receivers not getting separation because it feels like there's no separation. I haven't watched the All 22 yet. I'm guessing you didn't see much separation throughout this game for wide open guys.
Not a ton. I mean, Higgins can get open every now and then, but they don't play him. Kirk got open. Like, there was one on that last drive where Stroud probably missed the throw. Like, Kirk got open. Stroud overthrew him by about a yard. Like, close. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that was what D'Amico was talking about. They're close. But
so you think the Stroud, what you the positives you saw from Stroud in the film is more a reflection of Stroud than it is the pieces that are around him?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because the offensive line was really bad. Like, the offensive line was bad, especially Ursary. Like, Josh Hines-Allen on every single play was a problem. There was one stunt where they didn't pick up at all. Like, that was kind of a regression there. But they were really, really bad. Other than Stroud, Woody Marks should be RB1 on this team. Chubb has zero twitch. I'm sorry. He's your short yardage back at best. Like, Woody Marks should be getting a full share of RB1. He's way better in the passing game. He actually had I think it was the last series, where he was able to elude two defenders and got a critical first down, like made dudes miss. Chubb's just running into dudes and hoping he can, like, power forward for an extra yard or two. Like, Marks needs to be the RB1 on this team.
That's the goal of the season, I think, of as bad as the season looks like it can go for the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. If you can have some kind of solution at running back, like, we don't need to be having the conversation about a running back in the first or second round next year when there's so many other holes on this offense and this roster. So if you could find a guy in Woody Marks, just give him a shot. I mean, it's just, he should be out there instead of Dore. That was obvious after week two. And I think it's pretty obvious, even just watching the game straight up, that he should be out there in front of Chubb. I mean, it's, what's it going to hurt at this point? Like, why not? Like, at what point does the season just really become more about development than it does become about winning games? I mean, and I want Cam Robinson to start at left tackle because I think it's the best thing for CJ Stroud. But if it starts to turn into a season where, okay, play the young guys, the veterans got to sit, it might get worse for CJ specifically, but these young guys should all be overtaking roster spots throughout the season. But specifically, Woody Marks over Chubb.
Yeah, that one stood out to me. Will Anderson's really good at football, man.
Yes.
Like, he's so good. Like, we're talking about wasting the years of Stroud. Like, they might be wasting the years of Will Anderson. That guy is a freak, but their defense has been good. Juice Scruggs better than Lakin Tomlinson. Like, I'd be stunned if Juice Scruggs isn't your starting left guard next week.
Was he better because it's such a low bar, or was he actually good?
Better because it's a low bar.
Okay.
But he didn't, like, kill you. Like, Lakin Tomlinson was missing dudes. Like, missing dudes. Like, Juice, like, held his own a little bit. I wouldn't say he played great, but an upgrade there.
Yeah.
So, like, incrementally try to get better, obviously. A couple of bad snaps from the long snapper, Brinkman. The Kymie Fairbairn missed field goal was a high snap. The Townsend did a good job of getting it down. I wonder if that influenced it at all. And then that near miss on the extra point, low snap.
Okay.
He's no John Weeks. So let's see if that bites him in the future. Hey, Branham told you Brinkman's been struggling with his snaps.
So what you're saying is the Texans are going to lose this weekend because of a bad snap?
No, I think they're going to win 24-13.
Okay.
But I'm just noticing Brinkman's not Mr. Reliability like John Weeks is. So
you make a decision like that, a guy who's been with the roster for forever, it's going to be a change.
That's all I got. That's all you got. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Robert and Beaumont, since you referenced bad listeners not paying bets. No, listeners are bad. They just don't pay their bets. I admit I was wrong about the Texans scoring 27 and beating Jacksonville. I am disappointed in myself and the team, Robert and Beaumont. So Robert and Beaumont is eating a loss. He's saying, you know what? I was wrong, and I want to own up to my wrongness. I'm sorry. And I think that's a good thing to do, Robert. I feel like whenever we're wrong in life and when we're wrong with takes and wrong with sports, we should own up to those things.
Yeah.
You did it earlier with the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, yep. They lost a game? My bad. I missed that one. Yep. You know what? I was wrong.
You did it yesterday.
I did it yesterday with CeeDee Lamb. I was like, no, Joe, you're an idiot. CeeDee Lamb was not lined up in a single back. It was an end around. I was looking at the wrong game. I was looking at the Patriots game for who knows when that game was.
It might have been 2 years ago.
But the color scheme was similar, and I'm a little bit colorblind. I don't know if that's true, actually. Just making that up. And I came back from break. I said, you know what? I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, man. I was wrong.
I do feel like being colorblind a little bit might make play-by-play a difficult job at times.
I'm not colorblind.
Just because of the jerseys.
I'm not colorblind. The jerseys should matter, though.
Really?
Yeah, player identification, the jersey should not
matter.
See,
I feel like sometimes when I look at these college football jerseys and I look at, like, the numbers on it, I feel a little lost.
Well, it would be tough.
Identifying them.
It'd be tough if they looked the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just hand up. I am colorblind.
Are you really?
Yes, and Jeremy making light of my ailment is something I'll go to HRMP for.
This is a good example of, like, whenever you're wrong, to own up to it and say you're sorry. So, Sean, I apologize to no one.
So the that Jets.
Yeah, the Jets Bills game.
So what, the Jets Bills color rush.
Impossible to watch.
What colors can you not see? All
reds
of them?
And greens.
So dude, what happens? I've always been fascinated.
Purples and oranges, like purple and blue looks a lot alike, and oranges and some reds look a lot alike. So like when you're moving like down the spectrum, and blue turns into purple, like that's very hard for me to.
Oh yeah, it's tough to like balance it out. So has this ever gotten you in trouble?
No. I don't know how it would.
Like red light, green light, I guess.
Red's at the top.
Oh, so you do have to know that.
I mean, don't have to, but it helps.
But, like, could you know the difference in color if you didn't know that?
Yeah,
like,
I can tell.
I mean, there's some lights that are sideways.
Yes, red's on the left.
See, look, I would have never thought of that.
I never either.
Like, I know that exists, but I don't know which side it's on because I can see color. Sorry, Sean, flexing that I can see color.
That's all right.
When did you learn this?
I don't know. When I was, like, high school, maybe.
Oh, wow, it took that long.
Yeah. Well, it gets worse as you age.
So how did you know? How'd you learn?
So it's a situation, and actually, I might have learned from freaking biology class, because when your grandfather on your mom's side is colorblind, the gene gets carried by your mom. Your mom isn't colorblind, but she carries the gene onto her son.
And you knew he was colorblind?
Yes.
So you were like, hey, I wonder if I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
So did you test it? Like, what did you do?
Yeah. Yeah. When you go to the eye doctor, you can just, hey, by the way. I was thinking.
That fascinates me so much.
Is your brother colorblind?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are both colorblind?
Yeah.
Wow. So your grandkids probably will be colorblind or have a higher chance.
Yes, if I have a daughter and the daughter has sons, yes. It can only go that way. It doesn't go like any other way.
I apologize. When we play college football 25 online.
Yeah, what's up?
Does it mess with like seeing the colors on the field, like which team you're playing?
Good question.
Like when you're throwing against the defense?
it would explain some things. Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. So
it's like some uniform and color or in field combinations are tough.
Okay. I was just curious.
Let's try to keep it to white. One team wears white.
Okay. So are you going to try to use that to your advantage?
I am now. I'm going to pick a green team.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that on the road. Like, a home field advantage is fine, but if you're the road team, you shouldn't be allowed to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's fair. Put a green team on the green field.
Thank you for opening up, Sean. I know that's not easy.
No problem.
5030, I have no idea what that word is. You're way smarter than me. All right, 713-780-3776. College football, an eventful day in college football. A head coach whacked and a Heisman hopeful. He got a broken hand. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, we got the first date. You can join us inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles the weekend of October 25th and October 26th. That's Saturday and Sunday. We'll be doing shows inside the sportsbook. They got an all-new chef, new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings, new menu items, and now the restaurant is available to all ages. The sports betting part is blocked off, so you can't get access. Sean saw it, so he knows exactly what they're talking about, where you don't have to worry about, you know, being under 21 and going in there. You can go in there, enjoy the great food to watch. Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, College Football Saturdays, and NFL Sundays. It's absolutely the best. Cannot wait to get back out there and check out the sports book this year. The food's always on point. Honestly, it's just a great time. And Russ and Matt, the guys who are there running the place, they're two of the best people that we've had a chance to interact with since we started doing this last year. Bet must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about your Houston Astros, an official partner of the number one daily fantasy sports app in the land. That's right, Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is a great way to make money watching those Astros. At this point, we've seen 150 games of these guys. We know what's going to happen in these games. You can put that knowledge on the line and add a couple stacks to your wallet right there, staying up tonight, watching the Athletics and the Astros face off. Got Christian Javier on the mound. Think he throws more than four strikeouts. Get that in there. Four strikeouts, more Christian Javier. How about this guy, Nick Kurtz? Remember Nick Kurtz? I think more than 1.5 total bases is on the menu for Nick Kurtz. He got way more the last series that the Astros played the Athletics. And Yainer Diaz been holding things down in that lineup. Yainer Diaz going more than 1.5 total bases as well. Maybe baseball isn't your thing, or you want to watch another baseball game. They have all the games there. They have soccer, they have tennis, college football. You can even get in a little bit on the pro football. They already have a max discount available for Jalen Hurts this Sunday to throw for more than 1 yard. I think he does it. You can add that to your lineup and treat it as a little multiplier right there. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup after putting the promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Astros play the Sacramento Athletics later.
It's not their name.
I don't care what they tell me to call them. I don't comply.
Do you think they actually moved to Vegas?
Yeah, they're building the stadium.
It just feels like...
What do you mean? You're such a conspiracy theorist. They're literally building the ballpark as we speak.
It just feels like such a disaster.
Do you think they're moving to Vegas? What are they building the ballpark for, Joe?
An expansion team that's not owned by this group of clowns.
Do they... I didn't realize that Nick Kurtz... So he hasn't let off since... He doesn't lead off very often. This is... Well, he hasn't let off since the 17th, but the time he let off before that was the 7th. Seems like an every once in a while thing with Nick Kurtz. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wouldn't pitch to this guy, by the way.
No.
From
no,
the first at bat?
I wouldn't either.
Well, I mean, you got to the first at bat.
Yeah.
But any situation where he could change the outcome of the game?
Yeah.
90 feet.
They're really interesting, I think, for the future. They're starting to build some pieces, but they're the A's.
They scare me. Like, they scare me. They scare me in this series. You're right about like their long term stuff. They have some players. I like them way more offensively than on the mound. Like they don't have pitching, but
well, you trade Mason Miller. Like they're
I thought that was
behind.
A good trade though.
I think it was a good trade too. They're behind on pitching for sure, but they're setting themselves up for when they actually move to Las Vegas. So if they start to treat themselves like a real baseball team and spend real money, that they could win quickly, I think.
I mean, Kurtz has a chance of being the best, one of the top three best offensive players in the American League next year. I mean, he's got an OPS of almost 1,000. He could be the best offensive player in baseball for the next 5 years. Like, he's a dude. Mm-hmm. He is a dude, bona fide dude. Rooker's fine. He's going to get you 30 knocks.
I like Rooker.
Yeah.
I like Lawrence Butler. He hasn't had a great year, but a 2020 season.
Shortstop they have.
I can't stand him.
He's good,
hate
though.
Him. He's solid. he's hitting 315. 806 OPS. He's Bush League. Dudes. I'm gonna get really mad at him this series, I feel like. He's a Bush League son of a gun.
Just cuss?
No, Bush League, man.
He did something against the Ash.
He ran into Esoc Paredes trying to draw an obstruction.
That's right.
Childish
that's
little
right.
league.
That's right.
No, that wasn't him. That was Neto who got mad at Hunter Brown. No, but he ran intentionally. And then he did something the next week that made a Yankee pitcher mad. I think it was he ran to first base awkwardly. He did something that made the Yankee reliever
mad. Did he, get in the base path?
I can't remember what
it was. Or get in the throw?
Maybe it was that.
Or something.
Maybe. Because I remember the Yankee pitcher barking at him.
Yeah.
As he was up at the first base line. Here you go. There's Jacob Wilson for you. A little peewee level little leaguer trying to do enough to antagonize you.
I understand that is infuriating. And if he ever played a meaningful game against the Astros, I'd hate him. Although, these are meaningful. We'll see how he does, but I kind of like when baseball has a guy like that who
brings some attention.
Is a little bit of a pest.
I also think that the rule of like allowing a base runner to be wherever they want to be on the field to try to interfere with a throw needs to change.
Yeah,
that is so dumb. What Naylor tried to do it the other day against the Astros when they hit that the bases loaded against Alexander. I think there was nobody out. I can't remember who the hitter was, but he hit a line shot to like Correa, and Correa made like a lunging effort, but didn't catch it in the air. So he had to pick it up and throw it to the plate. Naylor's closer to the pitcher's mound than he is the dirt between home and third. Like, that's got to change. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's one of the, baseball's making changes, so we could add that one. defense.
It's such a stupid thing that you allow that. Like, what's his name did it in the Grindahl did it in the playoffs
that's
against
true.
Yuli. Where they hit a chopper to Yuli. Yuli's coming to the plate, and Grindahl runs to the mound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we doing, baseball?
He wasn't
get
on
your
any
act
dirt
together
whatsoever.
Yeah, and an umpire can call that interference. If you intentionally interfere with a throw, that is an out. But you're right. They don't have the cojones to actually do it. Mm-hmm. They need to just change the rule, make it easy on the umpire, which they're doing with this little ABS stuff. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, so this year, so starting next year, teams will get two challenges per game to challenge balls and strikes. If your challenge is correct, just like in the NFL or in the NBA, you keep your challenge. I think it's necessary. There was a game last night in which there was 25 missed calls in Major League Baseball. That's way too much. I think, though, managers have to allow certain players to do it and not others. I think, like, Alex Bregman would be a great example. Like, Alex Bregman has the green light to throw a challenge whenever he wants. Yiner? No. Not allowed. Veto. I think what's interesting, too, is they specifically pointed out, like, you can't have help. So you can't.
Oh,
so like the manager can't help you.
It has to be pitcher, catcher, hitter, right?
I think it's just pitcher, hitter.
I think it could be catcher.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think it can be catcher because when they were experimenting it with it in the spring training games, I think catchers were doing it too. I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm like 70% sure, but I think catchers can as well. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I think it opens Pandora's box a little bit.
Well, I don't know if I mind Pandora's box being opened, quite frankly. What I don't like about it is the two challenges. Like, if you're going to do this, go all in. Like, every single pitch is ABS. I don't like the two. Like, only two challenges, and I understand that they're unlimited if you don't get them wrong, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have the technology to call every pitch this way and get every pitch right, why would you limit it to only the challenges?
Yeah.
And, Jeremy, you've seen this in action. Like, yes. You've been at a AAA ballpark. It does not take that long.
No, it doesn't take long at all. No.
It takes... what, 10 seconds?
Oh, it could be real time. There's been minor leagues that use ABS for every single pitch, and they're just in the ear, and then, okay, strike. By the time the pitcher has the ball, you know the call. Like, I don't understand the challenge aspect of it. I guess they don't want to go full robo zone. I think they should.
Yes, it's interesting. I heard an argument right away from Nico Horner, the Cubs second baseman. He immediately said, like, he doesn't want that. That he thinks, like, framing shouldn't matter a little bit, and that it helps the egregious stuff from happening.
Yeah,
but I do think there is a skill set that we're losing in baseball.
Well, you're not going to lose it much if there's only two challenges a team.
Yeah, you're gonna see bad hitters do it. The catcher can. So challenges can only be initiated by pitcher, catcher, or batter. Must come right after the pitch. No help from dugout or other players on the field.
The strategy on when you use them is going to be pretty fascinating because, like, you're not going to want to use it in the first pitch of the game. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to want to limit it to critical moments where it could influence multiple runs. Like, maybe runners on base, maybe a bases loaded one out situation.
Sixth
like, you're
going
to have to be super selective on how, because you get two wrong, you're done.
Yep.
Framber Valdez out there. Oh, I thought I got the corner challenge. Oh, you're wrong. Oh, next pitch. Oh, that breaker's there at the knees. Oh, no, it wasn't Framber. You're out of challenges.
And to be honest, I kind of wish it was two on each side. I wish your pitcher got two challenges and your hitters got two challenges.
I would go all in. I would go all in with it. Texture says time consuming. No, it's not. It wouldn't add anything to the game.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like the Space Cowboys, we saw in action, I guess, last year when we were all there, and it's immediate. There's no difference.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and this isn't just the beginning. In the minor league system right now, they've also introduced the challenges for check swings. So we're also that's coming too.
Oh, I've seen that.
We're like, and that wouldn't shock me if that gets put into place for as early as next season. I know they haven't fully tested it yet, but if they're putting this in, why wait to do the check swing thing? Honestly, I'm more pro the check swing than I am this.
Some check swings are so bad.
Yeah, because it's so wrong. Like, this one's like, there's a line. You can tell virtually if it happens. I think my favorite part about this is it already has a sponsor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It says, the ABS challenge system is powered by T-Mobile 5G network.
That's weird it's T-Mobile. I would have thought it was like a LASIK company or like an eyeglass company.
I think the umpires might have an issue with that.
If you have an issue, you can go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's what my response would be.
Will they throw batters out if they get upset and still challenge it?
Like, I think it should be automatic.
Didn't they do that?
Well, so they threw someone out this year because a minor leaguer, he tapped his helmet, which is how you challenge it. And it was, you're not allowed to do that this year. But I'm saying, like, if Yordan Alvarez he's not very demonstrative, but like if Yordan like throws his bat and he's because he's angry, but he still challenges it. Like, will they still throw the guy out?
Yeah, they should.
The umpire got it wrong.
Yeah, showing up the umpire should absolutely be thrown out.
I'm kind of with you though. I don't like how it's a half measure. If you're gonna do it, just go all in.
I would go all in. I'd be better if like every at bat you get two challenges. You know, like you can just like every at bat Yordan Alvarez walks up the plate, like he can just tap his head.
Yeah, maybe a challenge per at bat's not the worst thing. Like you get one time out per at bat. Like one challenge, maybe that's like the happy medium, even though it's like a lot closer to every pitch.
I meant one challenge for each side. So that's where I said two was pitcher gets one challenge, the hitter gets one challenge per at bat.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the car wreck of the day. We'll mention Gundy on the other side too. He got sacked today by Oklahoma State. Oklahoma missing their quarterback. We'll touch on that on the other side as well. Car wrecks of the day as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. Thankful I have them on my side because I think I broke some HIPAA laws with MAPES there a little bit ago, but that's okay. I got HRP on my side. They're going to take care of me. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. Chris Fisher's over there. Granado's boys over there. They hire only the best at HRP. So business owners, let HRP help you. They can help you with HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HRP can help in any or all of these areas. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRP is going to find a way to help you. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love it. But you also love their service. It's guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. Always talk to someone who knows you and your business needs. So give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. They'll help you if you break HIPAA laws, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? That's so many. Find that huge selection online. You can't even find it at stores. Go to Walmart.com and check out all of those items. Branham family, we love it. We love ordering online from Walmart. We did it yesterday. Got some lunch meat for the week, stuff for lunch. Got some veggies. Even got some home goods. Yeah, they got it all at Walmart. You don't have a ton of time. You don't want to mess with the crowd. You don't want to turn off the game. Head to Walmart.com and get everything you need without having to leave the house. It's not expensive either. It's not even more expensive. Online grocery shopping does not cost more. I know you're thinking that, but that's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for deliveries. They are in store because it's Walmart. You already know those prices are low. What I love about it, they're fast. They're going to save you time. Use express delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from the groceries to the home goods to prescriptions. Walmart changes the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, think Walmart for those grocery needs. Start an order today at Walmart.com.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
We'll get into our car wrecks in like a minute and a half. But Uno, who's on the HRP listener line, has been waiting nearly 49 minutes. 49 minutes to get on with us. Wants to talk about the Bills. Uno, 49-minute hold. Thank you for your resilience, I think. What is up? You're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe.
Hello?
Hey, you're on.
Oh, yeah. What's up? Thank you for holding. How you guys doing? I just wanted to say, trash is cash. The Bills are going to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to trash it because I have an anti-Josh Allen bias. I don't think he's ever going to win a Super Bowl in his career. He's too careless with the ball. He's going to cough it up, Uno.
I'm going to cash it. Bills going to the Super Bowl this year.
Major credit to Uno.
Hanging on.
49 minutes for a cash or trash.
Yep.
That's my kind of guy. Uno, you're always welcome back into the junkyard. All right, what's your car wreck of the day?
We're going to dip our toes in some waters I didn't know if we were going to go into, but I'm going to do it anyways. Car wreck of the day, I'd like to nominate Samantha Rico.
Oh.
Because she tagged someone that doesn't work here anymore on today's social media post.
Oh, really?
Yep, calling her out. Calling her out. So the one you quote tweeted, you have to quote tweet a new one. Jeremy.
Or sorry. I don't.
Or you don't. Well, the other one's gone. So it's been fixed. It's been corrected.
My goodness.
But I'm going to nominate Samantha today for that one.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
My colleague of the day is making excuses for soft players. This is the problem with Houston sports media is everybody tries to get buddy-buddy with the player. People got mad at me. Oh, how dare you call it Laramie Tunsil for not helping his quarterback up. Who was on the right side of history there?
You.
Who was being buddy-buddy telling the offensive line, hey, this Branham guy's talking crap about you on the internet. Media members that are asking questions to the coaches and players. We got to get fandom out of the
yeah, there are a lot of
journalists.
They're soft. A lot of them. For a lot of
how reasons. Dare you call a Texan player soft? Because he's being soft. That's why I called him soft.
Yep.
Well, you know there's media members, a media member that bakes D'Amico Ryan's cookies? Dead. Serious.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not going to say who, because I'm not even sure I was supposed to say that. I was told that off the record.
I've got odds.
Yeah, man. Like, these
are the people.
I'm pretty
sure I know who is the minus 2,000 favorite.
These are the people that are asking D'Amico Ryans and the players questions are the ones that are the one. I shouldn't say ones. One that is baking them cookies.
Landry, I hope you're no, it's not Landry.
AV votes C.J. Gardner-Johnson for talking about players.
Yeah.
Did this guy just thank y'all for holding? He did. He did, but wait, he might have been delirious for being on hold for 50 minutes. So, yeah. Who's winning?
Whoever makes the cookies.
Somebody said they're nominating us for having a listener on hold for 49 minutes. Well, we were past it.
Yeah.
We're talking baseball and stuff. But he waited. We love Uno. Uno's our favorite listener now. Yeah, that's fine. Cookie maker.
Cookie maker.
I guess it's a baker. Right? He or she likes to bake. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Mace for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next.
Soccer Matters.
And Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 97.5. I kind of felt like Indy Kalu and Greg Cook there.
ESPN 97.5.